Will they play by the rules? Better believe it.
This,
as we like to say in this program,
is Felger and Mass.
Suck, suck, suck.
On 98.5.
Want to make that clear.
The Sports Hub.
No one wants to see him retire, right? We all think it would be a waste of talent, but no one knows what he's going through physically either. You know, and all the different stuff.
But do you think he's as clueless, as much of a lunkhead as Murray's letting on?
No, he's not. He's not anywhere near like that. Now, I don't think he's the sharpest tool in the shed to say, but I think that a lot of it is kind of cultivated. I think he's branded himself a little bit. I think he's sort of embraced that party boy, frat boy image, and it's worked for him. I don't think that these two things necessarily related to each other, you know, sort of a lack of awareness. I think this is the start of a contract negotiation, if you ask me. I think he's going to be looking at those last 2 years. It's $8 and $9 million, I think, base salaries. The incentives are, you know, he got those. They're not going to give those to him again. So
why not? So that was a 1 year deal, those incentives.
It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to be looking for a new deal. And I think that's what, you know, it'll come down to. I think this is the first step toward negotiation. Like, you don't want to step up. You don't want to pay me. I'm prepared. I can make this amount of money not putting my body through this amount of punishment.
Well,
I think that's what he's trying to do.
I mean, the answer of why do it only 1 year would be because the base was so low, right? Wasn't the base $4 million this year?
Right. So now you're talking about getting up around 15 if he's going to hit.
Right.
If they offer those incentives again, Mike, he just earned them. So they become likely to be earned.
That's on your cap,
right?
If that matters, but yes.
No, well, that, you know, this cap number this year, I think, I don't know exactly what the cap number is going to be, but it's $8 million base. There's workout bonuses and stuff. Let's say it's $10 or $11 million the cap hit. Well, you have to add those incentives that were not likely to be earned last year to that number.
I got it.
And I don't have it all in front of me. Miguel probably does, you know, on Pat's cap. But they're not going to be to risk, because, again, it would be likely to be earned. So you'd have to have that. You're talking about getting over, you know, somewhere between 16, 17, 20 million. They're not going to do that.
He's worth it, though. He is. He's worth it. I mean, if he's on the field, he's absolutely worth it. The cap hit on him next year is like almost 11, I think.
Right.
Right. So they're going to want to redo that, aren't they?
Add in the 5.5. Add in the incentives.
Right. Right, that's right.
So the cap hit's going to be really big next year. There's incentive on both sides to redo the deal. Now, how much are they willing to do? How long-term are they willing to go? Gronk just, I mean, we all know what the story is with Gronk. It's the if, right? We just saw him play more or less a 16-game season. He missed one game with an injury and one game with a suspension, but he was fairly healthy all year. You know, he was back to being his normal dominant self, but do you run that risk if you're the Patriots? That's a big question.
Okay, Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, Sunshine.com. A lot to get to. We haven't talked to you about the game, which we will hit on, but just the breaking news yesterday and what happened with Josh McDaniels. Your lead takeaway.
You don't even know where to start. And I found it interesting you guys were talking about the Butler thing and the social media post and how that's just, that didn't even make it to like a four-hour news cycle. It was gone. This was a stunner. And I know that a lot of people, and I had heard a lot of people talking about it during Super Bowl week. I know Mike Florio brought it up as a possibility. But some people that you know, you're around, that are around Josh McDaniels, said that there's nothing to it. You never really dismiss it, because whenever you see that kind of smoke, there's usually something to it. So clearly he was having a hard time with this. I think it's certainly good for the Patriots that they have their offensive coordinator back. But I wonder at what cost for Josh, because I think he did some pretty significant damage to his reputation.
No question. Weasel move, and you know it when your agent fires you. That is
And I guess him and Lamont, I think, have gone back and forth a little bit just in reading some stuff from some people. I don't think that's necessarily the first time they've differed as to the course of action. But I'll bet you this is the basis of their differences, is Josh is sort of, you know, gotten into the dance a few times and then decided to go home before, you know, last call. Like, he just doesn't really want to commit. I think it's his family. I think that's part of it. I don't know if it's just all about being the succession plan with Belichick.
But well, what do you think happened yesterday? Because I do not believe it's his family.
It's not the only, it cannot be the only reason. I agree with you.
I mean, the thing is,
he had accepted the job.
Right. So if the family was an issue.
Right.
So what changed with the family consideration between Tuesday morning and Tuesday night? Nothing. Did he pop out another kid?
No.
Well, what? I mean, so what happened?
It's
nothing
not just
happened.
About that.
Please.
I think that they may have wanted, and I also look what else happened today, the Greg Schiano thing. You know, he's now staying at Ohio State. You know, was Schiano brought here, you know, he's not necessarily going to be the defensive coordinator, but kind of like Belichick in 96. Maybe he's going to be the assistant head coach. Brian Flores would have been the coordinator, but who's actually in charge? I think that may have caused some problems. But Schiano might look at it as, let me get a chance. I'll ingratiate myself with Robert Kraft, a guy who I know, but only on the periphery. We don't really have a strong relationship. And maybe I can show him. I could replace Bill. And then Josh decides to stay, and maybe that sort of pushed Greg. Now, maybe I'm connecting dots that shouldn't be connected.
You should absolutely connect
them. But I wonder if maybe those two things are related.
Okay. So, I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Josh came out of whatever happened yesterday knowing he's going to be the next guy. I mean, that's to me, should be a foregone conclusion. Foregone conclusion. They're certainly going to pay him like it. So he's being paid like it, whether he is or not. And he has no shot across the league of being hired now, unless it's some garbage job in a garbage situation.
Or one of his real buddies somewhere.
Yeah, you know, if like Caserio left here,
right,
went to run another program, then maybe he has enough. But I agree with you, 31 other teams probably don't want to hire him as their coordinator, let alone head coach.
For all intents and purposes, he's toxic right now. So he has to be the assurance that he's the next guy, and so he stays because of it, no problem. The rationale on the part of the Patriots, Paul, I think was just to protect themselves against Bill leaving sooner or later. And when I say later, like not much later. Because if Bill walked out the door suddenly this offseason or even next offseason, and McDaniels would already have been gone and Patricia already gone and Bill O'Brien re-signed in Houston and I don't know who else they would have considered, Vrabel gone, like etc., they could be sitting there with no viable next guy.
Right.
And so I think they had to protect themselves against Bill leaving.
I think there's probably part of that is involved here. And, you know, I haven't spoken to anybody involved in the process, so it's not like I'm giving you any inside information. I haven't spoken to any of the parties involved. But that certainly makes a lot of sense. And the first thing I thought of, I'll tell you, one of the clips you guys played when I was driving in is something that I played over and over in my head last week during the Super Bowl. It was the Robert Kraft interview with Andrea Kramer, where he, instead of answering that question the way he generally, to my knowledge, has answered it every time about Bill's, you know, our guy for as long as we, blah, 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 the future is set. This time it's we were all going to have to wait and see, find out for ourselves, you know, something along those lines. And that really, that resonated with us last week in Minneapolis. We talked about it a lot on our shows. You know, why did Robert answer it that way this time? Is it not necessarily 100%? Did he not want to get caught in a lie if he wasn't completely sure that, and is this the first time he's not completely 100% sold that Bill is going to be back? And it's just eerie. You had the two Bills documentary. It seems like history is repeating itself, just with a much larger gap. But these are the kinds of things that happened toward the end of the Parcells regime, and this is what Parcells did to Belichick, that Belichick resented so much. Was he 70% in? Was he 90% gone? 20% gone? It always changed. Now it seems like Bill Belichick doesn't necessarily know exactly what his next move is and hasn't really decided.
And I think the Krafts just look at it and go,
I can't sit around and wait.
We can't be stuck like we were in 96 where I have to go out and hire Pete Carroll. We got to be, again, they do this to players all the time where they bring in the next guy before the original guy's done. You know, they signed Stephon Gilmore instead of caving to Malcolm Butler. They signed Rodney Harrison instead of, you know, like they always have that next
million examples.
Next guy there with the player level. So why wouldn't they do it at the coach level? And I think that's what really happened there. All right, that, and we haven't talked to you since the game, Perillo. Give me 30 to 60 seconds on the game.
Stunned just how badly they played on defense. The offense was terrific. I thought that they did their job, but just never imagined in my life. I thought Philadelphia was a good team. I know, Maz, you picked Philly to win, and I didn't think you were silly. I didn't think you were right, but I didn't think you were way off base. What I never saw happening was Nick Foles playing four full quarters of really good football. And I'm not saying he was out of his mind great. I know a lot of Patriots fans will try to make themselves feel better, but it doesn't make me feel any better. By saying, well, the guy had the game of his life. I don't think he had the game of his life. I think he played well, and I think he made a lot of throws that a lot of quarterbacks would have made. I thought guys were just running free. I thought when they were tight windows, guys broke tackles and did a good job of making yards. And the way they ran the ball, my God, the Patriots haven't really been run like that since, early December. Pittsburgh is the last time that any team had that amount of success. They just did anything they wanted offensively, and I didn't see that coming.
Philly was ready for him. I mean, Peterson was ready for him. He knew what they were going to do, and he was ready.
The Butler situation.
I have no answers, other than to say that I am not buying all of this premeditation as strongly as some others, because I just don't... What is the rational answer to the question, why was he dressed, if you didn't plan on playing him? And I think that that hurt the team twice. If you want to make a football decision, he's not ready, he's not practicing well, his head's not in it, who are we to question Bill Belichick's football acumen? None of us is even close to being qualified to do that. But he hurt the team twice. He didn't have Butler, and then he didn't have someone else that might have been able to play. So what do you get out of that? I mean, Alan Branch could have helped. I don't know. Mike Gillislee, another run. Maybe have another weapon. I don't know. Just fill in the blank. Any guy that you want to pick that was among those seven inactives might have been able to play. You decided that Butler wasn't going to play before the game. Why was he dressed? And was it simply to embarrass him? Were you just trying to prove a point? I didn't get it. It made no sense to me at all.
Feels that way, Pip. All right, back to your calls, if they're any good.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet!
From 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Say good morning to our ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter. First broke this story. Joining us on SportsCenter AM. Adam, why did McDaniels turn down the Colts?
Randy, the truth of the matter is he was never entirely comfortable with the situation. And even though he did agree to the contract, he winded up walking away, just like somebody who walks away from the altar at a time when they're supposed to be getting married. Sometimes people just get cold feet. And the cold feet came about from a variety of circumstances, not the least of which is over the last couple of days, the Krafts, who own the Patriots, went to Josh McDaniels and conveyed how much they wanted him to stay, how much they appreciated his contributions, how much he meant to the franchise this and in future seasons. Ultimately, he's got a family, four kids, entrenched in the New England area. Didn't feel comfortable leaving for an organization he didn't know, for people he hasn't worked with. And again, even though he did agree at one point to go, and there was supposed to be a press conference today at 4 o'clock that the Colts announced to introduce Josh McDaniels as their head coach, ultimately he changed his mind. He just changed his mind.
Here's Mike in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Felger, what were you more wrong about? Doug Peterson and Nick Foles, or the Patriots not being as good as they were?
Peterson and Foles.
You know what? Because Belichick got his hoodie turned inside out by those guys. You know what? And they didn't. And they didn't have any answers for him. Johnny Gomes on the sidelines, the defensive coordinator, had no answers.
Stunning, stunning. I'll tell you what, Mike. I'm not surprised that the Eagles had the first half that they did, because that's happened a lot. Jacksonville did that. Atlanta did that. A lot of teams do that. For them to come out in the second half and not have any answers whatsoever, the Eagles scored on their last five possessions. That to me blows me away. Blows me away.
I mean, they really only got stopped one time all night. I mean, they had two drives they didn't score, right? One was the pick that is a first down play that was there. The throw was a little off. Gilmore, I thought, made a really good play to fight for it. But even then, Jeffrey had his hands on it, and it ends up being an interception, kind of fluky.
Totally fluky. You know, I'm not giving Harmon any credit for that play.
Oh, no. Gilmore would get the credit for it. He had good position, and unlike Rowe, who had good position in the end zone, he was able to disrupt enough to prevent the completion, but it shouldn't have been a pick. And they would. I mean, let's face it, that falls incomplete. They're going in. I mean, they weren't getting stopped all night.
It was one series. I think it was the second series of the game. They went 3-and-out. That's it.
I want to say it was after the missed field goal.
Yeah, it was the
first
quarter.
I think they went field goal, touchdown, and then they punted after the missed field goal, and that was it.
Right, it was the third possession.
That was it.
I mean, and you had no answers. Since when? No answers, no adjustments. And meanwhile, your second-best corner sits there on the bench. It's just, again...
Who everybody thought was their best corner, by the way, for large stretches of the season.
Right, and not to say that he was good, and not to say that he had a good year.
I think he struggled and was inconsistent. But do we remember like 2 months ago when everybody wanted Gilmore out of town?
Oh, it's just unconscionable. Hey. Mike and Quincy, hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Tony, you brought up the fact that McDaniels wasn't going to be a good coach on his offensive rating back in the day. That was 10 years ago. It's two football lifetimes ago. Don't you think that experience
6 years ago,
and
okay.
time like gives them something to go off of? And
in Mark, theory,
I hope Gronk comes down there and smacks you for insinuating how stupid he is. You are the Brian Hoyer of talk radio, where they don't even have you fill in when people are sick and on vacation. They call in a guy in a traffic tracker, counting raindrops on a windshield.
This isn't true.
So bad.
Does Hook get fill in shifts before Murray?
Huh?
But, he missed it. He didn't have his head.
I'm trying to listen to audio to like chop up some audio.
Yeah,
what
don't disparage like holiday fill-ins. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a noble profession.
So don't disparage Murray.
So Murray wasn't even listening. He took umbrage with your Gronkowski takes.
Oh,
tough. Said he hopes Gronk comes down and smacks you around.
Yeah, whatever. Good.
So my question to this guy is, why do you believe that he can be a good head coach?
So again, Maz is down on McDaniels. He's scared by his resume that when he went to Denver, his offense has sucked. When he went to St. Louis, his offense was the absolute worst in the league, and Maz holds that against him.
That's it. I have nothing else to go on, but I just think he's overrated. He's worked with Tom Brady his whole time. Of course he's going to have a great reputation. Like, anyone who works with Brady is going to have a good reputation.
I think there's an element of that that people overlook. I think you're onto something.
So, look, I'm not saying McDaniels is a bum. Maybe he has learned something. I don't know. I'm just telling you, I'm not sold that he's the answer. How do we know? Based on the fact that he's been an offensive coordinator with Tom Brady?
Oh, my God. I'm definitely not sold.
You know what I worry the most about? I totally understand what Tony's talking about, but I think there are plenty of guys out there that really made their reputations off great players. There's no shame in that. I think he is a good coach. His inability to make a really important decision to me worries me. And I'm not talking about being sort of duplicitous. You know,
you're talking about Tebow?
No, I'm talking about McDaniel. Like,
backing out of this.
I see you hold this against him.
San Francisco, I'm in last year. I'm in. You know, no, I'm out. That wasn't the only time that he pulled his name out. Like, you're either in or you're out. And I that's one thing that Chris Ballard said today when in the Colts press conference. And they asked him, did he give him any reason? I didn't ask for one. He's out. I don't need a reason. He can't make a decision. You're out. I got to move on, right? That would be the thing that worries me the most about McDaniels. I think he's a good football coach, and I like him a lot. I mean, personally, this would be great. If he actually is the successor, I love talking to the guy. I really enjoy his company. I think he's a good guy, but I can't understand what the whole indecision is about a lot of different important things in his life.
I mean, at this stage, around the league, he's a tease.
Yeah, right.
That's what you are. You're a tease.
So it's a weasel move. So weaselly that his agent fired him. Which is just, again, it's like a scumball defense attorney not defending you. Which means, how bad, you know, what did you do that Johnny Cochran or, you know, one of these guys won't defend you? So that's like when an agent drops you for your conduct, woof. It's like the bottom of the box. So look, I think he deserves all that. It's a sign of low character and a weasel move. Except, I would say, he's just really following,
It's a profession of low-character guys. That doesn't worry me as much.
I just think these, you know, Parcells and Belichick, you know, sort of blaze the trail on it. And if you have success, it gets forgotten. And almost history almost flips it, where you say, well, Belichick was smart to weasel out of the Jets. And Parcells leaving the Patriots at that point, can you blame him? It's like, if you have success somewhere else, we'll almost forget about it. So that's not why I rule him out. I like the transition. And it's not that I'm convinced. Oh, my God, I'm not convinced. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be convinced with anyone. And of all the options, I like the continuity factor. Same playbook, same language. It's going to be some transition, I think, with him and Brady. And they'll draft the next guy, and it'll be sort of a seamless transition. I think because you keep Josh, you also keep Nick Caserio. And I think that is just, I think that that's okay. I think they've got some good continuity going, and I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I think they could do better. See, I'd like to see them go a little bit higher in
Jim Harbaugh.
Well, you know, that would be an example. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like in 2 years, or I don't know who's going to be available, or whenever this is. I think we're all assuming that maybe one more year for Bill.
I think it's one.
What if it's like 3 more years? I don't know who's going to be available. I don't know the next hotshot college coach that might want to come along. You know, maybe someone supplants Nick Saban as the greatest coach in college, and you could get a chance to get him, you know, in a couple of years. There's a lot of different things. I just feel like you could do better than this.
You're underplaying the agent part of it too, Paul. I'm sorry, being dumped by an agent? It's like being turned down by an ugly hooker.
Oh, I'm not underplaying that. I laughed when Mike said, you know, these guys, you know, like, it never happens. It's like a defense attorney. I laughed at that. I'm not underplaying that at all.
Seriously.
I think that's telling.
That's
because
what
Bob Lamont has to worry about his reputation in the league.
Well,
if I'm telling you that my client's going to do something, he has to do it. Otherwise, that's my name. That's what the agent is saying. I'm not underplaying that at all.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We were disappointed. Unquestionably, we were disappointed and surprised. We had agreed to contract terms. We had an agreement in place. We followed all the rules, did everything right. Two interviews, both of them went very well. Very confident that we were going in the right direction. Very confident Monday evening and Tuesday morning. And as you could see, we had a plan in place because we made an announcement that Josh was going to be our head football coach. I got a call Tuesday evening saying he had changed his mind and was going in a different direction.
Lots happened in the last 48 hours since that Super Bowl loss. Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, let me run this one by you, Felger. You guys are kind of right around the same idea I had. I think Kraft knew exactly what was going to happen with this situation. I think he talked to Belichick, and he knew exactly when he was going to be leaving. And he knew he was going to be left with no one there. And he wants to keep that continuity together. I think he made a deal with the offensive coach. And that's when he backed out of the deal. I think Brady knows about it. I think Belichick told Kraft, I got 1 year left or whatever it is. And Kraft knew he had to make a deal, and he had to make the right deal for the money and the position.
Something like that.
Yeah. But I think it could be possible.
Something like that. I think that given all of the stuff that's going on this year, this weird year, and with the Garoppolo thing and the tension and the dysfunction and whatever word you want to use in all of it, it would have been negligent of Robert Kraft to let all of his good assistants walk out the door and not have a fallback plan. You have to, and, you know, never mind, which I think I've been wondering, has Bill been negotiating with Robert to return, and is there a salary bump coming for him? Because, again, Mike Florio kept running during the Super Bowl about how much is Bill Belichick making, what's he worth. If Derek Carr's worth 25, then Bill should be worth 25, like that sort of. So I just, my antenna got up, like, is Bill negotiating with the Krafts? And if that's the case, if Josh had walked out the door, can you imagine the leverage Bill Belichick would have had in that scenario where he says, Robert, if you don't, you know, if we don't meet my number, I walk out the door and you have nothing.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think Belichick's leverage changes much with McDaniels here. I really don't view it in...
I think he has less.
The whole thing... No, I think he has the same. I don't think it's affected at all. And the reason is, if Belichick leaves, like you talked about, you can't leave him without all his assistants. If Belichick goes, what do I care what the assistants are? I need a new coach. My new coach is going to hire his staff. So whether Jerry Schaplinski is still there or someone else is still there, now if you have decided coach that I want to succeed,
McDaniels,
I mean I would disagree with that. I don't think he's the best coach available.
Okay,
so
but I'm asking
really
you.
So in other words, I don't really care Belichick's leverage. Like I don't think that I'm holding Bill over a barrel. Bill will say, okay, you want to do that? Fine. I
disagree. If I'm Robert Kraft, I feel much, whether you think Josh is a guy or not is immaterial.
What about Josh McDaniels is making Robert Kraft feel good about him being the replacement?
I don't know. Maybe Robert likes him for whatever reason.
How about that Tom likes him?
Or that Tom likes
him. Okay, so for another 10 minutes, you have a coach that your quarterback likes. Then what do I do in, like, I don't know, 2020?
Okay, but worry about that when you get there.
Paul, why did they just give him this great deal if they didn't think of him as the next guy?
It's a great question. And the only thing I can think of is what you're talking about. But
they think of him as the next guy.
Well, then why didn't Robert Kraft think of him as the next guy before yesterday?
Maybe he did.
Why didn't he make this offer to him before yesterday?
Okay, so
why did he make the guy
deadlines.
Doesn't make any sense.
So look, I was just about to say this, and I'm not BSing you, that the story came out, the first indications that McDaniels was having regrets or second thoughts
Super
about
Bowl Sunday.
Before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all week.
Right before the game.
All week?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk all week that wasn't a done deal.
Oh, really?
Okay, it wasn't necessarily a done deal.
So I was just going to say that. I had heard that, too. I started hearing more of that yesterday, that it was really there all week long.
Oh.
And so, now maybe it wasn't as public all week long, but to me, like, the whole thing, as you sort of get down the line, that the Kraft started looking at the landscape and saying, Josh, tell you what, you know, we get the Super Bowl coming up this week.
Sit tight.
Yeah. Focus on the game. But before you sign anything and give a definitive yes, talk to us first.
Well, he gave a definitive yes. He just didn't sign anything.
Okay, but then before you sign anything, right, just sit down with us and let's talk it out.
I'm just telling you,
give
Paul,
us your word that you won't sign anything.
If Bill walks out the door and Josh isn't here, they are porked, man.
I don't feel any different, to be honest with you. I don't.
Well, I do.
To me, Bill is the ultimate coach. Bill is the guy that puts it all together. You got Bill and Brady.
Of course he is. I know.
In 20 minutes, you're not going to have either one of them. I don't care if it's Josh McDaniels or someone else.
Really?
I don't have either one of those guys.
Really?
I don't have Belichick. I don't have Brady. I don't care.
There's no difference between Josh McDaniels and Chad O'Shea or whatever his name is.
It's not going to be Chad O'Shea.
Judd Chaplinsky, or then who is it?
Somebody else.
Frank Reich.
If that's who they decide, then that's the new coach. I'm already pretty sure that the next guy isn't going to do as well as this guy.
Of course,
right?
But that's not the equation. The equation is, can you be in the best position you can be if Bill walks away? And McDaniels...
Yeah, I guess I just don't have... I mean, I've said the last segment how much I really like Josh McDaniels. I'm just not sure that he's the head coach.
I'm not asking you. I think it's clear how the Crafts feel about him.
I don't think they would have waited until he had an agreement in principle.
I do.
Before they ran after him.
I do. And we're just trying to tell you.
If this was some like guy that they couldn't let out of the organization, I don't think they would have let it come down to the last hour like that.
But Maz is just telling you that it started last week. They didn't wait till the going away party.
It didn't start with Robert Kraft last week.
No, see, I think it might have started even earlier.
Oh, I don't. See, I think this is a very last-minute, desperate ploy that worked.
Oh, I don't.
It worked.
I don't.
I think Josh was going. Indianapolis said there was a press conference today. I think he was going until yesterday.
See,
I believe that Mike Reese report that he came to the stadium yesterday intending to clear out his desk and get to Indianapolis.
Ish. I think that Indy called that press conference to force his hand. Because, you know, they were probably like, enough of this. You know, you said yes, press conference, and now it's time for you to either get on the plane or not. And they sort of
you might be right.
Forced his hand
you
on that.
Right.
Look, I'm just throwing crap against the wall. What if after the Butler thing, they looked at it and said, oh, God, this guy's coaching like this and he's going to walk out the door?
Now, that's a good point.
I'm throwing crap against the
maybe
wall.
Maybe they started having a little, you know,
but maybe
after, the old man losing it.
Maybe after the Butler thing, they looked at it and said, we got to act. Well, this guy's losing it.
On top of the Garoppolo thing. You know, Bill, we told you that Tom's going to stay here as a quarterback. We didn't tell you to trade Jimmy Garoppolo for a bag of peanuts. And so why'd you do that, Bill? Was that out of spite? And then he does a thing with Butler, and then they look and go, well, this guy now is managing his ego and off spite, and let's get our ducks in a row, because we don't know how this is going to go. That's just smart business. And I'm sorry, I know you don't believe in McDaniels. I think they do.
Well, I don't believe in to that extent. We'll see. We'll see.
They do.
I don't think that he's done anything without Tom Brady as his quarterback, and I have reservations.
Yes, I think they'd like him, though. But we all should have reservations. It's not if the next guy is going to have a hard go of it following Bill. No question. It's about, can you put yourself in the best position? And I think they believe they put themselves in the best position by keeping McDaniels. I do. And I do think it does help them against Bill, where Bill just can't totally hold them over the barrel and say, oh, okay, I'm going
to
walk.
I just think that you can make an argument that the best position is to be, let's have a clean slate. Let's not have this guy. I mean, it's bad enough that we're having the guy to have to replace the legend, but now it's got to be sort of a legend's protege. Like, that even increases the pressure.
You don't
on
want
the new
continuity
guy.
After the run they've had?
What do you need for the continuity? You're not going to have the same players, Mike. It's not going to be the same thing, everything.
But the machinations of how it works internally. I mean, just...
Well, did Josh McDaniels have the same machinations in Denver?
He didn't. He's walked into a whole new situation.
How do you know he's going to do it all the same?
Because he's got Brady.
He's not going to... How long do you guys think he's going to play?
It better be 3 years.
But that's not the point. I'm talking about now. Like, if let's say that Bill really flips out.
Well, if Bill leaves right now, then you guys are right. I'd rather have Josh McDaniels. If Bill's not coaching in 18, I'd rather have Josh McDaniels.
But this guards them against that.
I don't think there's any chance that Bill's not coaching.
See, I think at the very least, you look at that now and say, McDaniels and Brady, there's continuity with our offense, and we'll be able to stay in games where we'll go 11-5 at a minimum.
I would agree with you. In the absolute immediate... Then you're better off with Josh.
How about when do you think Bill now does hang it up?
I don't really know.
Guess. What do you think?
A couple more years.
If you were to put money on it, you would say he has two more years left?
Yeah. I don't think Brady has much more than that.
I go one.
I think that they're going to be very
Bill's
similar. They might be off by a year. Maybe Bill has 1 year and Tom has two. I don't think there's much difference.
After the way this whole thing has gone down, if Belichick's the coach in 2019, I'll be surprised.
Me too.
In fact, it wouldn't shock me totally if he left now.
No, I wouldn't be shocked by it. Nope.
But last
certainly
night,
enough smoke there. I wouldn't be shocked.
When last night when it happened, I immediately thought, that's it, Belichick's going. And then I thought about it and said,
I did too.
Then I thought about it and said, no. This is a transition year now.
Meanwhile, I was pissed that Tuukka Rask in that first goal on the power play. It went right through the seven hole.
Well, were you more pissed at that or Krejci taking a shot at the empty net?
That empty net attempt. I'm like, what are you doing?
I yelled at my wife. I go, what is he doing? All I want to do is float it down. The game will be over.
Can I watch
and
a hockey?
Brinkley sent it right away.
Can I watch a hockey game? And then Bergeron bailed him out by winning the faceoff. Yes. I'm like, can I just watch a hockey game here, please? Without all this crap going on, now Bill's going to walk? I just want to watch a hockey game.
I did. I have to admit, I was with you. As soon as I saw the McDaniels news, I thought the next shoe to drop was I have to put together the Bill Belichick tribute issue because he's done.
I'm back to doing the NBA trade deadline on my own time.
Yeah, Marcus Smart might get traded. Not a bad story in its own right.
No, I thought the Celtics looked sharp last night. In fact, in 48 hours is incredible. I saw a Boston team play worse defense than the Patriots.
Yeah, Maz, you do Toronto Raptors basketball on your time.
Long commercial free segment is next. Go.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I don't know how you heard that. But, I mean, I'm definitely going to look at my future, for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
Rob, what would make you retire?
I'm not ready for these type of questions right now. I mean, I'm just going to look, sit down, reflect on the season, probably talk to my teammates. We fought all year long. All the receivers, running backs, linemen. I mean, we put all the work in together. So I'm just going to reflect on the season, proud of the boys, and just see what happens.
If he leaves, Paul, what are they? If he leaves, what is this team next year?
That's a big. That would obviously be big because I heard, Maz, you said about, yeah, you get Edelman back, but you know, you don't know exactly what you're getting out of Edelman,
that first year,
a guy like that.
First year back from ACL.
Who's so reliant on his quickness and his quick twitch and his change of direction. So, you know, Amendola's free agent. That would be an enormous blow to the offense.
Do you think there's a legit shot that he walks, or do you think it's all a leverage ploy?
I still think it's a leverage ploy. Now, I don't know exactly how his body's feeling. I don't know if this is really about his health and his future well-being, and maybe he's looking to do something that he can make a lot of money and not necessarily put his body through that same wear and tear. But I think, you know, I know that Mike Florio's the guy that initially had the report about not being stunned if it was his last game. Florio and Drew Rosenhaus are pretty tight, and Drew Rosenhaus is Gronk's agent. So I got to think this is step one to a contract ploy.
More importantly, would you pay your $8 or however much it costs nowadays to go see Rob Gronkowski in an action film?
15.
It's 15 now.
It's about 15 to go to the movies.
Probably not, but I'm not the target audience. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that would. I don't hold it against it. I would think it was pretty strange to leave in the prime of an athletic career to go do something like that when you could play a couple more years and do the same thing, right?
What if he suffered dozens of concussions?
Then that's not the reason. He's not leaving to become an action hero. He's leaving because I have concerns with my long-term health.
Part and parcel. If he's had dozens of concussions and has no prospects on the outside of it, then he has to keep playing because he has to keep playing. If he's had dozens of concussions and has movie offers, then he's got a reason.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that second piece is
important.
But
he also, does he have to keep playing right now?
Yeah. See,
if he had nothing to do, you don't think he has enough money?
No.
There's reports that there's money that he makes from endorsements and all kinds of things that he never even touches.
Well, just do the math. Let's say he's got $20 million in the bank.
You couldn't get by with the, well, I mean, you know, who am I asking?
Well, no, but if he's used to living a lifestyle in which he makes $5 million a year, call it, that's going to last him 4 years. No, and he's going to live hopefully another 40, he thinks, or 60 years.
Right,
so
you don't have to continue that same lifestyle, right? And
the word is like
it's hard to go back.
I think the word is the opposite.
He's never spent any of his game checks or any of his NFL money. He's lived off endorsements. He also gets the pension. He'll be fine.
If he did nothing from this day forward, he would not have enough money to live the way he wants to live. That's what I think. I mean, again,
it's not like natty lights are expensive.
Again,
Mike.
No. The key phrase, to live the way he wants to live. I think he lives well. I think he wants to live well. That's the whole idea.
So according to this chart I'm looking at, he has made over $44 million in his career.
Okay. You can live off that the rest of your life.
But don't tell me he's got... No,
that's pre-tax.
After taxes, he's got $25-$30 million, and he spent some of it. Don't tell me he spent none of it.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
And I'm sure he supports his family. I mean, meaning his extended family, the bros and the fathers and all this. I mean, don't tell me he hasn't.
Oh, he's definitely supporting his dad.
Like, come on. I'm just saying, I don't think he could retire and live off what he's made to this point and live the way he wants to live. He wants to continue to make money. I'll say it, on a personal level, I'm rooting for him to leave and become a movie star. Great story. It is. What? You know what, Rob? Everyone else has to go down there and take it from Bill and the man and the league and, you know, risk all of your future health and just be subjugated. And if you don't have to, good for you. Screw.
I'm selfish.
Double Freedom Rockets.
I'm selfish. I want to watch the guy play.
Yeah,
he's
right
great,
on, Paul.
He's a great player. I don't want to watch him act. I want to watch him play.
Do you know what he made in 2016 in cash, total cash? 2016, not 2017.
No idea.
$2.9 million.
Nothing.
That's pathetic.
That is pathetic.
That's the year, though, he got a bonus?
No, that was in 2015, he made $15 million, right? So it does. It averages out. But in the 2016 season, and I know he got hurt, $3 million for Rob Gronkowski? That ain't right. That's just and now you know why they put those incentives in there.
Okay. Furthermore, Jim Murray is among those who believe he has no shot to be successful in that next career. You're standing by that.
Yeah, I stand 100% behind that. He would be killing his career on a lack of self-awareness, Rob Gronkowski, Hollywood star. I can live with the fact he wants to walk away for injury-related issues, money-related issues, put the team over a barrel, fine. But to say, straight up, you think you're going to be the next Sly Stallone? Well, you're just a delusional fool.
You don't think he could play Drago?
No. I couldn't.
He totally could play Drago.
I've seen the Dunkin' Donuts commercials. I've seen the press conferences. Not too bright. Not acting. He has no acting chops.
Drago,
no timing.
Drago didn't say anything.
Yeah, and that movie sucks. Contrary to popular belief, Rocky IV. Get the hell out of here.
Would he be a good wrestler, Jimmy Stewart?
I think you give him 6 to 12 months of training down in Orlando at the Performance Center. I think he'd be a main event WrestleMania guy.
A main event WrestleMania guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think wrestling is the makes any sense, though.
The Performance Center in Orlando, the RG87 yeah. Institute.
Again, I'll repeat my line. Where they have steroid testing. Which means if you're not on it, they put you on them. They test to make sure you're on them.
See, I'm thinking of the back problems. How could he wrestle with those back issues?
The Gronk method.
Jimmy. Is there a way for him to wrestle and protect his back?
Yeah, they could set him up in a style similar, I would say, to Jim the Anvil Neidhart, if you remember him, where he just doesn't take a lot of back bumps.
I remember Jim the Anvil.
So, I mean, you do know, Paul, it is fake, so it's more like a dance.
I would say it's choreographed.
It's a dance routine versus an athletic event.
But don't tell me there's not wear and tear in the body. I mean, they are.
Oh, there is, but there's a style where you could work around that. If Gronk only had to do,
I'll
say,
take his
10
word
matches
for it.
A year, absolutely.
So, Jimmy.
He could make about $5 million doing that.
So, I was going to say, you're saying that with the proper training, he could be a main event WrestleMania kind of wrestler, do 10 events a year, and make $5 million a year.
At minimum.
Would you rather do that or get your brains beat in with these safeties coming across the middle, taking your head off with your, you know, 2 dozen concussions so far in your 8-year career? What would you rather do?
I mean, according to the website I'm looking at, based on salary now, he's never made $5 million in any season. Like, you know, you're talking bonuses and everything else. I'd wrestle.
You'd wrestle.
I mean, I think what he did in Orlando at WrestleMania last year, he got about $1 million for.
Show that again, Vinny. He was great in that thing.
So that I can live with, too. At least he's using his physical gifts to make money. That, okay, fine. You know what? There'd be part of me that'd be a little bit miffed that he's walking away from a path to Canton as the greatest tight end who ever lived to be a mid-level WWE wrestler.
But this is like, I could give two poops about wrestling, but this I find entertaining. This, I think, is pretty good.
And don't be surprised if he's in New Orleans wrestling Jinder Mahal, who he just threw a shoulder tackle at last year's WrestleMania.
That takes a lot of acting range to be all fired up in the corner.
That's good.
You just said he has no acting chops. Look at that.
I'm being facetious.
No, look, I'm being serious.
Please.
Crowd's going wild.
It's spitting in your maker's face. I stand by that. If you have that kind of talent and you walk away from it for some goofy acting career, it's akin to Felger walking away to be like a high school hockey coach. I'm going to teach the kids hand-eye. I got this elite hand-eye. I feel like I finally got to show it to
them. Are you still using that line?
Oh, he
still
does.
Elite hand-eye?
Well, I mean, I do have it.
Oh, my God.
All right, and Paulie, thank you for your stint today and, most importantly, the season. We will miss you.
It was a very enjoyable season. Okay. We had a lot of ups and downs.
It was a lot of fun, Paul.
Goodbye, right, Paul.
Get an extra one at the drive-thru for me.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Paul. We'll see you next year.
Michael Felger, Tony Mazzara.